Let me ask you for some general impressions then as well, maybe at the same time. Let's talk for a few minutes about your perceptions of the people as they come in from Mexico and as they adapt or as they move in and live here. What do you find most significant? What kind of reactions have you had yourself, let's say, with regard to, well, maybe lifestyle or how quickly they adapt or language difficulty, anything like that?
Well, that varies very much from one family to another.
Okay, so it's hard to generalize.
Yeah, it's hard to generalize. For instance, two families came in a year ago this spring, the Clausen family and the Wolf family. Well, the Wolf family, they just adapted just like that. You know, they were open, well, the Clausens too, both of those families. They immediately sent the children to school, and there was no problem at all. And they're on the way. Mm-hmm. Others will just, you know, what first chance they get to refuse to go to school, any excuse is good enough. And that, it's strange, even some families that have been here longer, I know one family, they must be here for 7 or 8 years. And even till a couple of years ago, the principal of one of the schools where these children were going just said this. He says, it's a pity. He said, this one girl, she's just as bright as can be, and I'm going to have to fail. I said, why? He said, she missed 60 days of school. I said, why did she miss 60 days of school? He says, for various no good reasons. She missed the bus. She didn't feel like it. These kind of things. Mm-hmm. A smart kid. Mm-hmm. But it takes some of them longer to get over that.
You know. Whereas others will,
Immediately, you know, they'll get down to it. Okay, school is one thing that you attend every day. Mm-hmm. And others who don't. I know we've talked to some that were here maybe for a couple of years and wanted to encourage the older ones to go to these evening classes. Papa's at Brooklyn, may I sure will. Period.
Yeah.
You know, that attitude. And of course, as long as that attitude prevails, they're not going to get ahead.
Do you find in any way that you may be able to generalize either? Regarding lifestyle, in terms of their adaptation to the Canadian way of life, what kind of comments did you have there? What have you perceived or seen?
Well, there are certain things that they, you know, by and large hold on to, and I think that's not necessarily bad.
Like what kind of thing? Any examples?
Well, a lot of their clothing, for one thing.
Particularly women,
particularly women, yeah. But it doesn't take that long. A lot of them let it go. The young people, they adapt very quickly.
But the older folks, the clothing is probably one of the last things to change.
Well, yeah, I guess one could give various reasons for that. I guess as they see their way into a different concept or understanding of religion or Christianity, really what it means, I think that's when it goes, is when they realize that the clothing isn't important. Mm-hmm. I think with a lot of them, you know, in the old calling church, and I'm not saying this negatively, but
yeah.
I think it's a reality with them, that this is the way they've been taught, and they feel that the clothes are significant.
Mm-hmm.
I think once they get to the point of realizing that that's only a minor thing, then it goes.
Somebody has said to me something like this. The one thing that the Mexican Mennonites are hungry for when they come is money, and as soon as they have it, they only want more. Is that an accurate description?
Well, that I think is not. I don't think you can generalize that either. There are probably some like that. Now, there's something that I find very disturbing with some. They'll come over here, work the summer, and go back, come back again. They'll make papers. You know, all kinds of people will go to all kinds of trouble to help them to get their citizenship. Once they get their citizenship, they go back. Now, my question as I asked one. I said, what is the point? You know, what do you want the Canadian citizenship for if you want to live in Mexico? I said, to me it looks like you're just keeping the back door open. People are working for you here to help you get these papers because they can't get them on their own. Mm-hmm. And David Friesen has been one that's been going through a lot. Of course, it was his job. Mm-hmm. But the country was good enough here, let's say, for them to get the end that they wanted, and then they would go back.
Mm-hmm. What reason did they give?
They didn't really give a reason. Some people of that particular, one particular family said, well, all they're coming here for, like what you said before, is to get more money, and the money will buy more for them over there. One person reacted this way to me. I asked him the same question, a young fellow. He said, I'd like to earn money the way I can earn it here and buy what I can buy with it over there. He said, in other words, you're trying to burn the candle from both ends. But I said, you're going to find that's not going to work. But, you know, those kind of people disturb me.
But you say those are probably the minority.
I think so. Yeah, although, you know, we don't, the people that you meet are the people that you know about.
Yeah,
there are
sure.
Many others.
Yeah.
There's also this, one another thing that disturbed me too was people would drive without driver's license, without insurance, and you try to explain to them, well, in Mexico, Brooklyn chains are what? Well, it's I when you in Mexico, well, it's Anadans eat in Mexico. When you in Canada, then what you should do us in Canada, it is us.
Yeah.
And when you in the well, should do it, then for trade in Mexico, and do so, you don't date them. But again, that's due to ignorance, I think. They really don't understand what all is involved. And I think there are still many people that don't understand this whole insurance thing. They just don't see the necessity of having it, nor the driver's license.
Can you generalize at all? I keep asking these kind of general questions today. Do you notice a significant difference between your intimately connected with the EMMC here? And shall we, let's say, here it might be convenient to compare them with the old colony. Do you notice any differences in the people, aside from their basic theological differences maybe being somewhat different, but other than that, do you notice differences?
Well, we don't really have that much to do, you know, with the others. Since we don't have any workers, we don't have that much to do with those from the old colony church. And I couldn't make any you know, kind of a statement on that, because it would be just something that I thought maybe, but not really that I.
So your contact with the old colony church here has been minimal.
Yes.
Are you familiar with some of, let's say, some of the leadership, like Queering or others?
I know Queering. He lived in this vicinity. He worked for my brother for a while.
Oh yeah.
So I know him somewhat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What kind of reactions do you get from farmers and others who employ them in the area here? What do they say about the Mennonites? Are they
very varied? Some of them say they're very good. Some of them say that they're no good. You know, it depends on
their experience.
On who you get. Frankly, we had a very bad experience with one family that we had the first year.
Can you give me the nature of, you don't have to give names, but
yeah.
The nature of the
situation? Yeah, we were picking cucumbers, like, for Hindus, and we had a machine, and two of our boys were picking on the machine, and we had three of the others, of these people. And two boys, one girl, and the boys were 18 and 19, they were men. And I wasn't watching that close. Like, I showed them how we wanted them picked, and my boys were on the machine too, so I figured if, you know, they would look and they would pick like that. So one day went by, and the boys were telling me, they said, somehow something isn't going quite right. They're never picking as many out of a row as we are. So I told them, I said, and I went and looked a little bit, and I didn't like to, you know, police them, like you try to work on the honor system.
Yeah.
I told them, I said, maybe you should be picking a little bit closer. And the next day went by, Well, then we started over on the other side of the field again. And I said, well, let's switch rows. Usually we left the same person on the same row. I said, let's switch rows. And I put my boys on their rows. Well, they were just coming up with yellow stuff. So they had never stopped the machine. See, that's the first indication that there's something wrong. If there's one person or two persons that the machine never has to stop for them, there's something wrong. They can always keep up. So immediately we found out what was wrong. So I told them, I said, look, this is what's coming out of your rows. You haven't done the job. No, they found out that you got this done here. And they just did. They just walked right off the field. They wouldn't take that criticism. So we got a few more from another family. And one of them was a man. He was probably my age, probably 45. And he managed to pick his roll with one hand and have a cigarette with the other hand all the time. And I suggested to him, I said, it takes both hands to pick. Well, I found out that so. Well, that wasn't a happy experience either, because I had to let them go.
Yeah.
They just weren't doing the job. Well, then we got another family, or some children from another family, and there were two grown-up girls. They were, I think, about 16 or 18, something like that. They were excellent. Then we got some smaller children. They were excellent. There were some boys there that could hardly reach the seat, the footrests, you know. Half the time they were walking with their feet on the ground. Those boys, there were two of them there. One was 8 and one was 10. And they picked twice as good as those 18 and 19-year-old fellows did. You know, if those kids would miss something, you would close your eye.
Yeah.
Because they were doing what they could. And so those were two contrasting experiences with those two families. And these girls, we had them another year after that, and they were just excellent. You couldn't wish for better pickers. And I've heard a lot of them that have had that kind of experience.
A little bit of bad, a little bit of
so
good.
But this is normal. This is with everyone.
Mm-hmm. That's human nature.
It's human nature. My wife and I have often discussed this afterwards. Little did we know then that few years down the road, we would be working in a different capacity with these people. But our first experience was not a good one.
Mm-hmm.